Now to Myanmar, where Buddhist monks marched today for the first time since last month's deadly crackdown on pro-democracy demonstrators. Some 200 monks moved through a town in central Myanmar. They made no political statements, but their presence was seen as support for the September demonstrations in Yangon, which were led by monks. Thousands of those protesters were detained by the military government. Others fled the country. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports on one couple who found refuge in the Thai border town of Maysot.
A little more than a month ago, Tu Khao and his wife Sanda, not their real names, were up-and-coming affluent professionals in the former capital, Yangon. Childhood sweethearts, they got married earlier this year, started a new business, and were talking about starting a family, too. Then came the September demonstrations, which Sanda joined, figuring there was safety in numbers.
If the government arrests all the people who demonstrated, there's no place to put them. I thought like that.
She thought wrong. A few weeks after the military crushed the demonstrations, the authorities came for Sanda at her mother's house, but missed her by just a few minutes. They then tried her sister's house. She wasn't there either, but her husband was. He didn't know what was going on, but he caught on quick.
Immediately, my husband realized the situation, and he answered, I don't know. She was angry with me, and I don't know what she wants.
They asked him for his wife's passport. He said he didn't have it. They said, get it, and if you don't, we'll use force. Not wanting to cause trouble in his sister's house, Tu Khao complied, and the police left. After that, I called my wife, he says, and she told me she was okay, but she wouldn't tell me where she was, he says. She was afraid the police were listening.
Starting from that day, he didn't go back home, and I didn't go back home, and we slept in different places.
The next day, Sanda reached out to a powerful and influential uncle, with good contacts high in the military government, hoping the uncle could fix things.
So on the next day, he called me, what did you do? What did you do? It's not a simple case. They believe that you are the channel between the foreign political support and all the information, the political information from inside.
Many people did pass information, photographs and videos about the violent crackdown to the outside, but Sanda says she was not one of them. All she did, she says, was join the demonstrations. Sanda says she thought seriously about staying and facing the charges against her.
I don't want to leave Myanmar. My family is there. I don't want to leave them. So after a long discussion with my family, they all suggested that I should not face the case.
The family was afraid they would torture her into confessing to something she hadn't done, so Sanda and her husband left Yangon 2 weeks ago. He was unhappy about leaving his new business, but never considered staying without her. We've been in love for a long time, he says. There was no way I'd stay if she left. And it wouldn't have been safe for me to stay anyway, because in Myanmar, if they don't find the person they're looking for, he says, they'll go after the one that person is closest to. So it was safer for both of us to leave. They say it took 10 days to make their way to the border and slip across into Thailand. Now they are refugees with no passports, laying low, fearful of being arrested and deported. They have little hope of returning to their once comfortable lives, but neither regrets taking part in the demonstrations, even though that decision appears to have cost them their comfortable lives. Sure, we were comfortable, Tu Khao says. We had a good business, and we lived a lot better than most. But it could have been taken away at any time, he says. The people in power make the rules and bend the rules as they please. Nobody, he says, is safe. The husband and wife hope the demonstrations are the beginning of something better and that their time in exile will be short. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.